Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And a good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, a great service department and sales staff, and a service department, of course, that's going to get it done for you with the diagnostics, with the state inspections, with whatever you need. They just took care of Lisa's vehicle not too long ago. And a sales staff that's there for you only and for your family, and to make sure that you have the right vehicle that's right for your future. They are not just there for the sale. That's why they have customers coming back again, again, and again. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. One day away from the NFL draft, and I know we had said Michael Barkamp from NBC Sports Philly was going to be on with us today. That's next Wednesday. That's a blunder on my part.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
But he'll join us next Wednesday, and we'll still have a lot to get into him then. We'll still be breaking down the Eagles draft, and who knows what we'll be talking about with the Sixers as Game 6 looms tomorrow night as well for them. So that's next week. Tomorrow, though, we have a loaded show. The King is going to join us to start things off this time with what to watch for at 3:35. Then we got Jerry Dulac from the Steelers Radio Network, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette at 4:06. Then John Clark from NBC Sports Philly at 4:35. He's live in Vegas. He's going to be doing live hits all day on NBC Philly, and he's going to join us in between those live hits. So we'll get exclusive reports on both the PA NFL teams from two of the best in the business, and Jerry Dulac and John Clark, tomorrow during the 4 o'clock hour. And then Monday, we'll have Bill Hillgrove, the voice of the Steelers, at 3:35. 4:06 is NBC Sports Philly's Ruben Frank. So we've got you covered wall-to-wall for the Eagles and the Steelers with the NFL draft set for tomorrow. We're almost 24 hours away. 29 hours, in fact. Less than 29 hours from the start of round one. So tomorrow's going to be an exciting show. Very much looking forward to that. We also got exciting news last night as the one and only fraudulent coward himself, Mark Emmert, announces that he is stepping down as president of the NCAA next June. And I think to announce this more than a year away from that just shows you how dumb he is in itself, and just exactly explains his tenure in a nutshell in itself. But also his comments, stuff that he's so proud that the NCAA accomplished. First of all, what in the world did you accomplish as NCAA president? Basically, at the mercy of student-athletes and conferences and of Congress because you're too afraid to say something and do anything and take a stand for your organization? To not even do anything for the student-athletes? That the fact that they just had to do everything for themselves? I can go on and on here. You accomplished Zipola, Mark Emmert. You have accomplished Zipola, Ungatz. And then he says, I'm proud of what we were always up for. We were always responsible, and we took pride in making sure we worked, what we did what's best for student athletes and the playing experience. I when I saw that, I literally laughed out loud. And again, I tweeted this out. Explains his tenure in a nutshell. See ya, fraud. There you go. And because he was so bad as president, nobody wants it. We've seen Nicole Auerbach and Heather Dittich and Dennis Dodd from the latest CFP meetings, which is basically a complete waste of time because we're not going to get an expansion. That's a whole other discussion. Everyone's asking, what do you want in the new press? What is the new NCAA president going to look like? If there even is one. So who knows if there's even going to be one? And quite frankly, who would want the job, to be honest with you? And in fact, the Pac-12 commissioner, the new Pac-12 commissioner said, quote, it's a unicorn. I don't think I could explain that any better. It's just so bad of where the spot that the NCAA is in. I certainly wouldn't want the job, and clearly nobody else does, so that's going to be fascinating to look for down the scene. Just thought I would share some of these quotes I've been seeing, because it just makes you laugh. It really does. But we move on from the ridiculous to the entertaining, which is the NFL draft. Again, tomorrow night, round one. Now, John Clark, who of course is going to join us tomorrow, just tweeted this out a little while ago. He's already in Vegas. He says, Alabama receiver Jameson Williams told me the Eagles told him they would like to draft him. Quote, they told me they would love to see me alongside Devontae Smith. I think that would be an explosive offense and something nobody has ever seen before. I would love to see that. I know you got the knee injury, but I think that is a risk worth taking. And after the report that we played yesterday from Ian Rappaport, and now others are on this, that the Eagles are working the phones and trying to move up, it sounds like that actually could be the guy now, if it's not going to be Thibodeau from Oregon. Because it's looking more and more likely that we're going to see a run at receivers like toward the end of the top 10. Because you have teams in there that are looking to trade down, like a Carolina, like the New York Giants from their second pick, that want to trade down. So this is going to be a really fascinating first round. One of the most unpredictable rounds we're going to see going into tomorrow night. So I just can't wait to see how this is going to unfold. I'll still be a little surprised if quarterbacks don't go in somewhat of a frenzy and or at least early, just because that's how it always is. But if that does if it doesn't happen and everybody waits on the quarterbacks like they should, I'll be quite proud of all the NFL teams for not overrating these quarterbacks each and every year for the last couple of years when they're not graded as such. But this is going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be one of those two as far as the Eagles go. I think if they trade up, it's going to be because Thibodeau's falling or because they're trying to get Jameson Williams out of Alabama. It's going to be very, very fascinating tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to that exciting show leading into it, so we hope you join us for that. Steve's on his way back from a funeral. He'll join us when we come back next as we break all things down. One day away from the NFL draft, your calls as well, 1-800-795-9565. As we continue here on the Steve Jones Show, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Line drive right field. Over the glove of Grossman. Larnach had to hold up. He's going to be held there. And the Twins have filled the bases. And now Sano goes towards second. And that forces the runner from second. And now it's thrown away. One run will score, and the Twins are going to win the game.
Twice in a week, that's amazing.
Sano with the base hit than a base running blunder, but who cares?
Another crazy one in baseball, huh? I want to thank Matt for doing the opening to the show today. If you don't mind a personal moment for me here, you know, we try not to do personal moments. Oh, it sounds like the doggone. Is that a test?
Yeah, after Mark Emmert's decided he's stepping down, we're just doing the EAS testing now.
Oh, brother.
I'm sorry. I may or may not have had a little too much fun at Mark Emmert's expense last segment.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, I was a little late today, and here's the reason I was a little late. It's a family matter. My my father's cousin, Philip Jones Jr., actually lived here in State College, and he passed away at the age of 99. Today would have been his 100th birthday. So today's the day they decided as a family that they would lay him to rest. And so it was important that I, in terms of my father, you know, my father and mother are both passed. And, of course, you know, I think you all know Kevin lives in Connecticut. So, but it was also an opportunity for me to see my Aunt Helen, her husband Walt. They came in from Ohio to see my Uncle Dwayne and my cousin Rob, who brought him there. My cousin Karen Moretti and her husband Don. And Don, by the way, Don Moretti, you know, among the people he knows in his life, I think I've mentioned this before, is he actually knows Tom Coughlin. And my Aunt Ann, and many members of the family from where, you know, the area where my father did grow up, and that's up in Bradford County, Warren Center, LaRaysville, places like that. And I had not seen, obviously, some of these people in a long time. And it was just important that I try to spend as much time with them as possible because, A, I love them, and B, I thought it was really important. And Matt made sure, I got a hold of Matt, and Matt made sure he held the fort until I got here. So my apologies to the audience for that, but I also thought that being with them was something that I needed to do and was very, very important. So Matt, meanwhile, had a lot of fun at the expense of one Mark Emmert.
I did, so no problem.
I'll say a couple quick things about him, because obviously I don't know him at all. But as I mentioned in other interviews with people, that I think anybody that's in a job wants to leave the place in a better spot than they found it. And to me, that brings with it a level of success and satisfaction for the person in the job. And for the most part, it's pretty obvious. And I've been around a lot of people in the course of my career where there is no question they left whatever place it happened to be in a better spot than when they started. He's not one of them. And this is not, hey, let's take shots at the guy. That's not what I'm doing here. Please, I am not doing that. How he handled the Penn State situation was wrong. He was trying to be the big shot. He was trying to be, okay? And he realized, if you notice how subsequent elements have been happened at Michigan State, at Michigan, at Ohio State, and others, you notice they didn't do any of that. And also, in Penn State's case, the sanctions that were put on Penn State's the first program ever to have sanctions rescinded because they know they handled it wrong. And he was the leader of that. Other than that point, you see where the NCAA is now because they lost control of name, image, and likeness. You see where the NCAA is now because they don't have the proper structure with the transfer portal. You see where the NCAA is now when they get to court cases like O'Bannon, which I have talked about extensively, and they lose that case, which then opens the door because they don't approach it right. They don't, and he never approached it right. He always talked about the amateurism. He always talked about the student athlete in terms of using the words student athlete, right? And he always talked about elements like that in the context of the ivory tower. When you were trying to do something like you are doing in football and basketball in particular, you're trying to make as much money as you can to support the other sports so that they have opportunity. That's the argument you make, and he has never been able to articulate that argument. And thus, they lost the O'Bannon case. They lost the Alston case, about academic help, which then opened the door for name, image, and likeness. They lost the Alston case 9-0 in the Supreme Court. You know what 9-0 means? It means Clarence Thomas, Amy Coney Barrett, and Brett Kavanaugh, and Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch agreed with Elena Kagan, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and John Roberts. How'd I do? I got all 9, didn't I?
That was very impressive.
Thank you very much. The sports guy got the 9 justices of the Supreme Court right. But they all agreed. They never agree. Until they got a case from the NCAA, and then they agreed. Isn't that amazing? If this were Vegas, who had Alston plus 9? But again, he testifies in these cases, and you don't testify before the Supreme Court. It's arguments. I understand that. But in lower courts, he testified, and again, they lose. Why? Because he just doesn't have a handle of what is going on and what structure needs to take place. And the NCAA is in a worse spot now than when he took over. Now, is it all him? No. But has he helped? No. Now, mine was probably a calmer, more realistic. Then you probably were over-emotional and over-the-top.
See you, fraud.
Oh, don't do that. But how he handled the Penn State situation was wrong, because you can see by how they've handled the other ones. They didn't get involved. All right.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, which is so important. And a great service department that takes care of everything. Inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Tomorrow, the King will join us. Missed today, by the way, and asked about by many. Jerry Dulac. John Clark. We were going to have, I got to know Michael Barkham was going to be on today. Somebody botched the day up.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Just as bad as Mark Emmert's tenure.
Right. Did you tell him what I texted you?
Yeah, he's killing us.
See how angry I get? I'm brutal on these things.
Oh, I know.
You must wake up in fear every day.
Always.
Let's see. Monday will be Bill Hillgrove and Ruben Frank. And Wednesday will be Michael Barkan. So we got the draft coming up tomorrow. first round. I give the NFL all the credit in the world. Baseball used to have really so much control over the news cycle. Think about the way baseball used to be. Season, All-Star game, more season, World Series. Okay, one day we're going to name the Rookie of the Year in the American League, National League Rookie of the Year the next day. Then you got the Cy Young Award winner one day, the other Cy Young Award winner, then the MVP, then the MVP, the Manager of the Year, the Manager of the Year, and they'd spread it out over 8 days. And then they'd have the winter meetings right around the second week of December. Trades, movement, excitement, people being fired, all the stuff Matt loves. And you love when people get fired. And it's kind of like drives you. You know, teams getting fined $100,000 for cheating. No, you don't talk about that. But I'll get to that in a second, by the way.
Bingo!
I'll get to that in a second. Because remember, the Red Sox did it too. Okay. See, I'm fair. I'm fair on that stuff. You know that. And then you'd have pitchers and catchers report the first spring training game and the cycle starts all over again. And baseball dominated the cycle. Now football does. The NFL, right? The NFL dominates it. And to some point, college football does as well. The NFL, I mean, let's just start from after the Super Bowl. You have the combine. And then you have free agency. And then you have pro days. Well, meanwhile, colleges are going through spring practices and spring games. Okay? This is when baseball would be dominating the cycle. No. Then you have the NFL draft that they spread out over 3 days. Round one, Friday rounds two and three, 4 through 7 on Saturday. Okay? After that's done, people spend a week talking about it. It's like we spend a lot of time talking about the spring game and what you saw on Saturday. All right? And then there's some OTAs and more news there, maybe a little bit of a lull. Then training camp starts, and training camp in most cities buries baseball. And then you have preseason games. Yeah, you may have three of them, but there are three preseason games, which then the season starts, and you go through the season every week. Dominant, dominant, dominant. Same thing with college football. Dominant, dominant, dominant. And then college football gets to bowl games. College football playoff, more bowl games, championship game, NFL's in the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. They dominate the cycle the entire year. It's amazing what they do. I mean, I give them all the credit in the world. They own it. They own it. Now, other sports get a slice here and there. The NBA is getting its slice right now with the playoffs. Stanley Cup playoffs are about to begin. They'll get their slice. Baseball gets some bigger slices, there's no doubt. But the NFL and college football dominate, and especially the NFL. College basketball, a lot of people really pay attention from the time the Super Bowl is over till the end of the championship game, which is the first Monday in April. So they get their significant slice. It's a pretty good slice, but they get a slice. But isn't it amazing how the NFL dominates? It's brilliantly marketed. And it all goes back to what year? I'm trying to think what year was it? Was it 1981? I don't think it was 80. Maybe it was 81. ESPN. It went to, you look that up. So when their draft coverage began. ESPN goes to the NFL and says, we'd like to televise the draft. And they looked at him like, you're nuts. What are you, nuts? And all we do is pick players. They bring a card up and we announce it. They're like, wow. They said, no, we want to do it. Can we do it? And they took that first show. And sure, it's for the most part, it's what George Grand, Zimmerman from Sports Illustrated, and Howard Balzer of the Sporting News were the prime guys in the early days. And of course, I think Mel Kiper was with them right away. And they had all sorts, to their credit, all sorts of video on all sorts of guys. They didn't do every round. They did not do every round. And they, and this is until the mid-80s, they didn't do every round. But they did the first round, maybe two rounds, something like that. And I think they got up to round. I think they went to a time on the clock, like they'd go to 7 o'clock because it was in the afternoon. I've got a couple good stories out of that. In 1982. So it's spring 82, April 82. Penn State's going to have a couple of players taken off the board in the first round. One's Mike Munchak, Scranton's own. The other one is Sean Farrell, the two guards. And Dave Baker, who was the sports information director at the time, and one of the great guys on the planet. Dave is still in the athletic department, still doing incredible work. He was the sports information director at the time, and he had it set up in the lobby of his office that we'd watch the draft, series of reporters, including myself, and the Penn State players would be with us. So when a guy was picked, like Mike Munchak, since he was done talking to, then it would be the Houston Oilers, he'd come out and we'd all get a chance in a press conference format to ask him questions. So Mike Munchak gets drafted. Bingo. Goes in, talks to the Oilers, comes back out, talks to us. Boom, all set. The other guy was Sean Farrell. All right. Sean, another terrific guard. And the St. Louis Cardinals are up on the draft board. And for the young and uninitiated, the Arizona Cardinals used to be the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, he's telling us privately, he says, I don't want to St. Louis. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to St. Louis. And of course, we're like, geez, I mean, what choice do you have? All of a sudden, the phone rings in Dave's office. And they ask for Sean. Sean goes back. And we're watching the TV while Sean's in the back room. And the Cardinals are there, and they're up on the screen. They're up on the screen. They're up on the screen. And the Cardinals then pass. The Cardinals passed. You're like, passed? Now, all of us had to, like, listen to George Grand as to what passing meant. It meant that they'd just go back one pick, and I think it was Kansas City moved up. You know, they flip-flop. And Sean doesn't come out of the office. Kansas City picks. Then the Cardinals pick. And I want to say they took Lomas Brown, a tackle. That ended up being a good player for them. And then Tampa Bay picks Sean Farrell. Sean comes out of the room, and he sits down. They said, hey, when the Cardinals were picking, and I didn't ask, somebody, I think Ron Bracken may have asked, or somebody, the Cardinals were picking, and you weren't here, were you in contact with them? Yeah, he says, yeah, I was telling him not to pick me. He said, I would not sign with them if you picked me. And we went round and round and round, and that's why they ended up passing. And he finally got picked by Tampa Bay 2 picks later. Like, wow, that's interesting. The other one is in 1987. Penn State has won the national championship in 86. I am doing this show here in State College. And the show at that time was 5:30 to 7. And we had Mike Mackey, who's now a producer in Orlando, TV producer in Orlando, one of the hardest working guys I've ever been around. Paul Alexander, who's in Pittsburgh, whom you've heard on this show many times. And then I was essentially anchoring on the show. And it turned out that ESPN's coverage went off the air. I think we were going to 8 o'clock that night. So ESPN's coverage went off the air at 7 o'clock. And we're having a great day. Shane Conlon gets picked by Buffalo. Boom. Mike is the producer. Immediately gets Shane on the phone. Shane joins. This is after, of course, he's talked with the Bills or whatever. He joins us. DJ Jozier gets picked. Mike immediately does a great job. He gets DJ on the show. He's picked by the Vikings. And as these guys are getting chosen, and I'll tell you where we have Paul. Paul was at the draft. This is what makes the story. Paul's sister lived near New York or in New York, and he was able to stay over with her, and he's physically at the draft in New York. Well, ESPN is done. They go off the air for the day with their draft coverage. It's not like today where they do all seven rounds. Wow, okay. So they go off the air, and it's the third round. And then, and I can't remember which order it was, Tim Manoa gets chosen by Cleveland, and Steve Smith gets chosen by the Raiders. And of course, we just lost Steve last year, unfortunately. And Paul announces on the broadcast that Tim Manoa got picked by the Browns. And then a few moments later, announces Steve Smith got chosen by the Raiders. So Mike Mackey is just doing a phenomenal job. And yes, he is related to the comedian Joe Mackey. If you've ever seen Joe Mackey, he is related to Mike. Gets Manoa on the phone, and then he gets Steve Smith on the phone. And I'm just, you know, and I'm just sitting in the anchor chair, having these two marvelous people do all this great work. It's like, you know, working with Matt. Matt does the same thing. And Smith and Manoa each say the same thing when I'm interviewing. As you know, the obvious first question is, "Hey, what was your reaction when you found out? You know, when you were on the phone with him?" He said, "Well, And Smith was great. He says, "Steve, I haven't been on the phone with him yet." He said, "I found out I got drafted by listening to the show." I went, "That's kind of a cool thing." I didn't mean to circumvent Al Davis here, but yeah, okay. That was kind of cool. And Manoa said the same thing. He found out listening to the show because the Browns hadn't called him yet. But that's the way the draft used to be. Now it's all seven rounds over 3 days. And it really is, I mean, to their credit, it's a great production. It doesn't matter whether it's NFL Network or it's ESPN. Doesn't matter. Both do phenomenal jobs of digging up video on everybody. And you put those anchors out there trying to make all this work, and you never see them stumble or get out off track or anything like that, whether it's Rich Eisen. Now, in the past, I guess it's going to be, I think, Mike's going to do it? Mike Greensburg is going to do it this time, I think? Is
correct,
he?
Yeah.
Okay. But Trey Wingo had done it before that. And Wingo did a phenomenal job. Guys have tough jobs. You're trying to handle everything as it goes, and there's no real order to it. There's some order. They do wait to make the picks when you're ready. I mean, there's a lot of elements that go into it, but you still have to make it all work. And those guys make it work. There really is. To their credit, they take the here's the card, here's the pick, and they turn it into an incredible TV show. So those are a couple draft stories. None of them involve the Eagles.
Those are good stories, though.
It really is phenomenal how it works. It's phenomenal how it works. And that's what makes it. Those are the days where you look back, and those days of the job are fun. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Suit is still on vacation. Thus, we've done our best shows ever. What? No? Deep down, you miss him. I know you do. When Mertzi came back, did she even ask where he was?
No.
Makes her average. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.